Good morning and welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Liz Hoffman, your host of the show, Faith and Families, underwritten by our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can check out their website and all the good things they have to offer, and we have a link to their website on KFUO.org. Well, this week on the show, we'll be discussing something that affects each and every one of our listeners. We're talking money. Some people have plenty, and most of us wish we had more, but almost everybody could use a lesson on how to better manage it. We'll be talking with different experts all week about the best ways to plan for college tuition, vacations, and retirement. And I want you to remember that you, our listeners, get to be a part of this show and with our discussion. You can call or email anytime your questions or comments for our expert. During the show, the number's in St. Louis, 314-505-7850. Or if you're outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also email your questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. We will be addressing those questions and comments during the second half of our show, so we definitely encourage you to get involved with us here. So let's jump into today's discussion. We have an expert with financial tips and advice from Thrivent Financial. Thrivent Financial for Lutherans is a faith-based, non-for-profit organization with approximately 2.6 million members. It's the nation's largest fraternal benefit society, and they help members be wise with money and live generously. David Wagenke has been with Thrivent Financial for 14 years. He graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Political Science from University of Wyoming in Laramie, Wyoming. He's married with two children, and he's a member of St. John's Lutheran Church in Ellisville, Missouri. David, thank you so much for joining Faith and Family.
Wonderful to be here.
Well, we're very happy to have you, and happy Monday. Sun is shining, and we're ready for a baseball game here in St. Louis, aren't we?
Couldn't ask for more. Mid-70s, opening day. That's perfect.
Yes, very exciting. Well, being part of Thrivent for over 14 years, I would imagine that you have seen families in many different financial situations. Tell us a little bit about how the times have changed since you've started helping families.
Well, yeah, we're in front of all kinds of different families all the time. Thinking, I actually just celebrated my 15th year. I got a little medallion at our regional meeting in Springfield on Friday. Great. And thinking back to even the early 90s, a lot of the situations are the same, but in light of first what happened in 2001 with the economic decline that happened then some recovery, and then 2008 hit, it just seems like there's more of an awareness, especially with people right before retirement, and including in retirement, that, wow, this is a really serious issue. Need to do lots of planning, and if you do have a plan, you can make it through. And then younger people, I think, are seeing their parents or maybe even their grandparents struggle with some of these issues, maybe if they didn't do any planning. So there's more of an openness to at least engage in the process and say, let's ask some questions and let's find somebody qualified to help us kind of navigate these waters. You know, nobody navigates health waters on their own. They want to go to a doctor. So we encourage people to find a really qualified financial professional to help them get through this kind of stuff. And fortunately, Thrivent is full of those kinds of advisors, and there's lots of other good companies out there as well. It's just probably not something most people should go through alone.
Definitely, and looking forward to hearing more about what all you have to offer. Now, I would imagine, depending on age and where people are in their finances, that would completely depend on how they would start this whole process of planning for their financial future. Let's start with maybe a newly married young couple. What kind of process should they go through when it comes to securing their finances?
Yeah, one of the sort of neat things is that we walk everybody through somewhat of a similar process, in that there was a book written about 15 years ago called The Millionaire Next Door. Dr. Thomas Stanley, I believe, was his name. And they did a study on who these millionaires were, what their lifestyle was like. And they found a couple of common denominators. Number one, most of them had a very frugal lifestyle. They were more likely, for instance, to have a Sears card than a Neiman Marcus, and just were really frugal in their lifestyle. And the second thing was that they had a written financial plan. Didn't matter who it was with. It changed often as they did their research on it, but they had sat down with somebody and did a written plan. So whether you're, you know, 70 years old and maybe just lost your husband and you're a female, or you're a young couple in your 20s, newly married, we try to walk everybody through the same sort of a process where we sit down and ask them exactly what it is they're trying to do. There's a lot of education going on as well, because most of them have never been asked a lot of these questions. And so, but we show them the finished product, which is the written financial plan, and then we just start diving in. It's also one of the things that, as I was an advisor before I got into the leadership side of things for 14 years, it's one of the things that keeps our job interesting, is that every situation is unique. So you could have two newly married 20-year-old couples, and one of them is expecting an inheritance from a grandparent or something, and the other nothing like that, so it would drastically change what the plan would be. So we sit down and we walk everybody through those same kinds of questions.
Now, are there a lot of people that try to do it on their own without having an advisor, and how do they? What kind of experiences do they have?
I think the vast majority do, mostly because they're afraid that if they sit down with an advisor, maybe they've heard of somebody with having a bad experience, or they've had one themselves in the past. And so that's why I think the industry has changed a lot, in that it's much more process-driven than it is product-driven. So it should be somebody that you really, really trust and you feel good with. And it also should be sort of a fun process. Now, there's things you got to talk about that aren't fun to talk about, like if you die too soon or you get sick or hurt and you can't work. Those aren't fun things, but we ask people to think about it once a year, make a plan for it, and then forget about it until we have our annual review next year. And so, but yes, to answer your question, I think the vast majority do try to do it on their own, and that's also why, if you look at the numbers, it's in the 90 percentile of people that when they retire are almost fully require the government to support them. That's half of the people. And then maybe they have a pension or something else coming in. Unfortunately, anybody younger than about 50, early 50s right now, are not going to have those same kinds of things. Very few companies have pensions now. Social Security has almost become a cliche, in that it's it will still be there because it's an extremely popular program, but it will be much later than a lot of people think. It will be much less, and probably fully taxable. All of that's speculation, but there's lots of research saying that that's where it's going. So this need to plan has never been greater, and that coupled with the fact that I think the industry has done a better job at walking people through a process rather than going out and talking about a specific product, it should be an enjoyable process.
What are some of the mistakes, I guess, that these couples are making if they're trying to do this on their own?
First of all, they never start. It always, you know, it sounds good. They might hear something at church. They might read something in a newspaper, talk to their friends, and they think, oh, I need to do that. But then unless somebody comes along like an advisor phoning them, or they see a seminar, rarely does it get done. We kind of joke that people aren't sitting at home, you know, watching the Cardinals on baseball and think, hey, maybe I need more life insurance today, or maybe I should start a retirement plan. So it's part of an education process. It has to be instigated, and usually it has to be started by an advisor. So that's the biggest mistake, is not starting. Probably the second biggest mistake, if they do meet with somebody, is they don't look at everything from a comprehensive standpoint. Maybe they just focus on retirement and don't take the risk issues off the table. Some of the things we talked about earlier. What if you die too soon? What if you get sick or hurt and can't work?
Right, because those things, they happen every day to people everywhere.
All the time.
Yes. Well, let's talk about about a married couple. Maybe they have a few kids. They haven't even started a college savings plan yet. Where do they start researching as far as what available options there are for them?
Well, I guess the internet is a good place to start researching it. I would still... If I had a conversation with them, I would push them to sit down with a qualified professional again, because there's lots of waters to navigate there as well. You've got education IRAs, you've got 529 plans. We see a lot of people, when there are limited dollars to solve all their financial problems, doing what's called double duty dollars, where they will go into, for instance, a Roth IRA, where they can use that money for qualified education expenses if they need it. If the kids get a scholarship or they end up not going to college, that money then just becomes earmarked for retirement. So again, it's one of those things where it's kind of hard to go it alone. And so to sit down with somebody who works with that day in and day out, that's where I would steer them.
Okay. And there's many people out there that are faced with financial struggles. Maybe they've lost their job or they've had something happen to where they've got medical bills that have piled up. What would you suggest as far as planning for retirement? Say if someone's in their 50s, they really don't have a lot of retirement left because they've had to use that savings.
Yeah.
Is it too late for them? Or
never too late. There's that old story about when's the best time to plant a tree to enjoy the shade. Well, it was 20 years ago, but what's the second best time is now. And so what we do is we can work with them, and that's, again, part of what a lot of the software that an advisor will have will say, okay, here's your timetable. Maybe we won't get to 100% of the goal, but at least let's start chipping away as much as we can. And what the really beneficial thing that people see is that it boils it down usually to a monthly number based on if we could expect, say, 7 or 8% on our return for our retirement investment, here's how much per month we would have to put away to get to whatever your income goal is in retirement. So a lot of times just the awareness is curative for people. And I would say most of the time they're surprised not by how massive the number is, but if I just consistently do this, here's how much it would take to solve it. And wow, I think that's actually doable. When you start looking at things like I got a 401k at work that I can chip away at and then maybe some additional investments, it becomes doable. Back to your earlier question about mistakes that people make, I would say another one is, you know, dovetailing off what we said earlier, that they procrastinate. When you look at the numbers of what it takes to successfully retire when you're in your 20s and 30s versus waiting till you're in your 40s and 50s, it's a massive amount, because when you're dealing with compound interest, you know, in those later years, it's the snowballing effect. But if you don't have those last 10 or 20 years by starting early, you never really get that massive cumulative effect. So the earlier you start, the better. But back to your question, if you're in your 50s and you feel like you're behind, let's sit down and look at the numbers, and it's probably more doable than you think.
So I'm kind of hearing a pattern here, whether you're very young or getting a little older where retirement is very close. Either way, it sounds like sit down with a professional, not trying this on your own, and get some expert advice.
I think planning's everything. We use a triangle when we're talking to people that we're recruiting into the business, and we talk about the three big areas in people's life. And the first one would be faith, and most people have a pastor or some sort of a faith advisor that they would use. The second being their health. Almost everybody has a doctor, somebody that they go to. But then the third thing being money, and very few people have somebody that they can go to and say, hey, somebody called me about a reverse mortgage. Should I do it? Is now the time to refi? What is a mutual fund? I'm hearing about life insurance, term life insurance. What is it and do I need it? You know, very few people have that. So it really is so valuable to have somebody in your life that you can talk to like that. And again, there's lots and lots of really good advisors out there. Just find yours and use them as a resource.
Definitely. Well, Thrivent Financial offers many products and services to its clients. I'd like to go through some of them for you to explain to our listeners.
Sure.
I know that annuities are one of your products. First off, maybe for those who may not know, can you maybe explain what an annuity is?
Yeah, in its simplest form, an annuity is a guaranteed paycheck for life. And so there's two phases to an annuity. One is the accumulation phase, where you're saving towards retirement. And then when you're in the retirement, you have the option to what's called annuitize it, and that means turn it into a lifetime income. So the easiest way to think of it is very similar to Social Security. Social Security is an annuity. It's a guaranteed payment for life. The same thing goes with an annuity. They've got guarantees built into them. They have a death benefit, so if you're the value of your investment is lower and something happened to you and you did die, your beneficiary would get the amount that you put in. So it's got some guarantees on there that other investments don't have. And annuities have, you hear kind of mixed responses. Some people absolutely hate annuities. Some people love them. There's no right or wrong. It's just simply a tool in the tool bag, and they are going to become increasingly more popular over the next 25 to 30 years because this generation that's 10 or 12 years from retirement right now has either undersaved or they got hit really bad in the 2008 downturn and either pulled their money out, so they haven't recovered. Bottom line is they've undersaved for retirement, so they're going to need something like this to give them a guaranteed income for life. And with Social Security, again, you know, what we talked about being diminished and less of a retirement role for our generation. You know, anybody, again, roughly 50 and under, there's you probably need to start planning for that being a lot later and a lot less than you think. So annuities can be a wonderful tool for lots of people in retirement and saving for retirement, too.
I understand that there's different types of annuities. Can you kind of go into that a little bit?
Yeah, there's really, it seems complicated, but it's relatively simple. There's only two types. There's fixed annuities and there's variable annuities. Fixed annuities have guarantees built in with them. That guarantee is only as strong as the company backing it up. And so there's lots of good companies out there. I'm proud to say I work for one of the best. Our ratings are as high as you can get. As a matter of fact, last week, they were just reaffirmed by an outside auditing firm called AM Best, and we have the highest ratings you can get. So when you use the word guarantee, that matters to people, and Thrivent Financial is right up there. So fixed annuities have guarantees, and then there's what's called variable annuities, and that's an annuity account that has similar to mutual funds as their investment. So you've got the ups and the downs of the market. And again, when you've got that volatility, though, long-term, your growth is usually a lot higher than with a fixed product.
I guess, how does a person know which annuity would be better for them?
Very similar to what we were talking about earlier. I think you need a professional to sit down and say, here's what would fit you. And maybe annuity fits, maybe it doesn't. You know, there's other things I know you mentioned that you wanted to talk about a little later. An annuity is not for everybody, but that's where somebody would help you. And I still do a lot of joint field work in my role. You know, we're bringing new people in, and then we don't just throw them to the wolves. We're out running joint field work with them for 6 or 9 months when they get started. And one of the things, the analogies I use is when I go to a mechanic or get my car done, it's so complicated. There's no way I can do any of that stuff on my own. I've got to trust them and be able to say to them, you just tell me what you think it is I need and fix it. I'm not that interested in how the engine runs. I just want the engine to run. And that's what a financial professional. Now, depending on your personality style, that's most people. There are some really analytical people that want to know how the engine runs. Our advisors can tell you down to the, you know, almost to put you to sleep, how they work. Most people just want to know, does it solve my problem and move on?
Exactly. Kind of like going to the doctor and having an issue. Well, just tell me how to fix it.
That's right. What are my options and does it fix my problem?
Definitely. Yep. Well, you're listening to Faith and Family on KFUO. We're talking with David Wagenke of Thrivent Financial. If you have a financial question or comment for him, or maybe you'd like to share an investment success story with our listeners, give us a call, 800-730-2727, or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. We'll be addressing all of those questions and comments coming up on the second half of the show. Now, David, I believe that Thrivent also offers insurance. What types of insurance are available?
The three big types are, of course, life insurance, disability insurance, and then long-term care insurance. So, you know, depending on the stage of life somebody's in, that would kind of steer us, as we're helping them design a written financial plan, that would steer the questioning that we would go for. So.
Okay, great. And would you say that college and retirement are the two main areas as far as people looking to the future and planning?
Yeah. So when we sit down and show them a finished, what we call a financial needs analysis, it's a written financial plan. When we open it up and show them, that's where we start, is with retirement planning and college funding, if that's a concern for them. And, you know, what it does is it shows them, we're asking them questions about, talking retirement planning now, what kind of have you even thought about retirement planning? Because to a lot of people, it's just some vague, fuzzy time way off in the future that'll never get here.
Right.
But then we work it backwards into today's dollars. What would you want to retire on? We'll factor in an inflation rate. And usually we use 3.5% because that's been long-term what it's been. And then we'll factor in, are you expecting a pension? Do you want us to factor in Social Security, or do you want us to leave that out? In my own plan, I've left Social Security out just because if it's there, I'm going to look at it as gravy. What have you done so far, saving in your 401k and IRAs and things like that? Are you expecting an inheritance? All those kinds of questions. That goes on kind of the analytical side. Then the software will figure it out, and we'll move it over to the graphs, the bar graphs and the pie charts. And again, if there's... The part of it that people find a lot of value in is it it shows them, usually we use age 95 for a life expectancy. There's lots of people living longer than that, but, you know, 95 is where we start. Sometimes they say, let's extend this out to 100. And what it does is each year it shows them, okay, based on what you told us you were going to have, here's what your expected asset growth will be, here's how much you're putting away each year. We're looking for any red on that graph. If there's any red on there, that's bad. That means you would have run out of money by that time. If that's the case, then we boil it down to one more little set of bar graphs where it would say, okay, based on different rates of return, whether you're really conservative or you're really aggressive, here's how much per month you would have to put away to solve that problem. And people look at that, and very, very valuable thing. Very few people I found have actually sat down and done that for themselves.
Right.
They're just maybe punching into a 401k or an IRA and just kind of hoping that things work out.
Right, just kind of going blind at it. And yeah, that sounds like something that is definitely necessary.
Better than
do.
Nothing, but there's better strategies. There's better things to do. So
absolutely, definitely. What age group of people do you, I guess, mostly see?
It varies, and it kind of depends on the advisor. We've got some young people that are in their 20s and early 30s. That's their demographic that they focus on, young families. And we have advisors who focus almost exclusively on people right before retirement and in retirement on distribution strategies. So, but it runs the gamut. And when we have a new advisor come in, they're pretty much telling the story as often as they can while they're trying to build their business, and taking somebody who's qualified with whoever they're telling the story to with them to help solve those problems. So we have, you know, our youngest clients are sometimes just a few days old because we start life policies on babies, and to all the way up into, you know, over 100. So
great. What age group do you feel like you need to see more?
Well, I'd say there's two. Lots of people, I'm hoping, part of our mission is we get to these people in their 20s and 30s so we can get the message out that you need to start planning for yourself. Reliance on your company or the government is a thing of the past, and it's just a math problem. We're not concerned with their political persuasion. We're just showing them the math. You need to take care of yourself, and it's a personal responsibility thing. So that's one big area we're trying to get the message out. And then a lot of these people who are right before retirement or in retirement, the number one fear they have is running out of money. And so we want to show them, here's how long your money will last, and if it's going to run out sooner than you think, here's some strategies to make sure that doesn't happen.
And I liked a point that you had made earlier about Social Security and just kind of putting that to the side in your thoughts, and if you get it, what you get, kind of counting that as gravy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And again, for it's not going away. And you know, if you're in retirement right now, you shouldn't be afraid that your Social Security is going to be taken away from you. That's not the case. If for no other reason than politically, it's just not politically possible. But again, those in their early 50s or a little bit younger, now's the time to start planning for it. You've got some time, you know, 10, 15 years or more to make the adjustment that maybe that won't be there in as big a form of your retirement as you thought. So you've got some time to solve that.
Definitely. And do you think that people come to you with a reasonable understanding of what they need to be putting aside for the future?
No, I don't. It's rarely do they have any kind of a concept. But again, the fun thing is they're usually surprised by how doable it is. It's not this overwhelming thing. And then we hear comments like, boy, I wish I would have started this 3, 5, or 7 years ago. I was afraid to sit down with somebody, and this is actually a doable number. I feel really good about this.
Makes me think of talking with my Thrivent advisor also years ago, and seeing just a few years of that difference of how much more it can be.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, anybody who doesn't understand compound interest, just do a Google search on it, and you'll realize it's those later years where you get those massive increases because of the snowballing effect. So the earlier you start, the better it is.
That is wonderful. Well, listen, we are talking with David Wagenke of Thrivent Financial. Thrivent Financial for Lutherans is a faith-based, non-for-profit financial service organization. They have approximately 2.6 million members. Again, we're talking with David Wagenke. If you want to join in the discussion, give us a call, 314-505-7850 or 800-730-2727. We'll be right back after a short break. And welcome back to Faith and Family at KFUO. I'm Liz Hoffman, and we are discussing money management this week. We'll have a link on our website to Thrivent Financial, and we would also like to remind you that you are listeners. We'd like you to get in on the discussion. If you have a question or comment for David, give us a call, 314-505-7850, or outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. Actually, I have a couple callers hanging on right now from us. Brenda from Troy, Missouri. Brenda, thank you so much for joining us on Faith and Family.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My husband and I wondered, how late could you, at what age, buy long-term health care insurance, like such as nursing home or assisted living or such? And could you give me an approximate cost of somebody that is healthy and say that they're 60 years old, I'm sorry. And then can I listen on the radio?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's. Thanks for the call, Brenda. Let's start with the age limit being age 80. And then she asked average costs for nursing home. In Missouri, it's about $85,000 a year. It sounded like she was from Illinois, and so
Troy.
She is in Missouri.
Troy, Missouri.
Yeah, in our region we cover both Missouri and Illinois, and so Illinois it's a little bit higher. But you're right around $85,000 a year. So your question around what does a long term care policy cost for either a 60 or a 62 year old? It really varies. There's a few levers that, when you sit down with an advisor, they'll ask you. And the first one is, on a monthly basis, what do you want Thrivent to pay to that nursing home? So we start anywhere from people who just say, well, I've got some assets built up and we'd like to have this cover a portion of the cost, to what would it cost to cover 100% of nursing home costs. So that's the biggest lever, is what on a monthly basis do you want us to pay out? The second lever is, how soon do you want it to pay? That's very similar to a deductible on your auto insurance. Very typical there are 30 and 90 days. So that means you would come up with the nursing home costs or the in-home costs out of pocket for the first month or 3 months. And then the third and final lever is, how long would you want it to pay? And so you can go anywhere from 1 year to 10 years on that. So depending on, obviously, the longer you would have us pay and the greater amount and the shorter the deductibility, the higher the premium costs would be. So there isn't really any sort of a standard we could say, here's how much it costs. So what you want to do is sit down with somebody. And the neat thing is what a good advisor will do is take a look at where all your assets are and say, well, how much of this would you want to, what percentage would be okay to use for nursing home insurance, and then kind of work backwards that way. So really tough to answer the question. It just depends on an individual situation. Also depends on, you know, long-term care insurance is something you have to qualify for. So they're asking you health questions and those kind of things. So all those factors mean we can't give you, okay, there's a 62-year-old female, here's how much it costs, if that makes sense to the listener.
Great advice. Okay, listeners, if you want to join in as well, 314-505-7850 or 800-730-2727. Have another caller here on the line, Leah from St. Louis. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for your service. I have a 23-year-old grandson who lives in the country. He farms 160 acres. He's just starting, and he also has a paycheck. And the amount varies from week to week. He works for a man that has a dairy milking cows. And I was wondering what you would advise for someone like that to get started for putting something aside for retirement.
Great question. You know, the thing that jumps to mind right away that we see a lot of people don't have that need is what's called a Roth IRA. And a lot of people are familiar with what a traditional IRA is. And really quickly, here's the difference between the two. With a traditional IRA, you get a deduction in the year you make the contribution. So if you put in, you know, for 2013, you can put in $5,500. So if you made that contribution to a traditional IRA, it would be as if you earned $5,500 less for that year, so you aren't paying taxes on that. Then the investment grows tax deferred, and if you wait until age 59 and a half, you can then pull the money out without a penalty, and then it becomes 100% taxable. Okay, so you get with a traditional, you get the tax deduction in the year you make it. It's 100% taxable when you pull it out. With a Roth IRA, you don't get the deduction in the year that you make it. It still grows tax deferred, just like a traditional. And then when you pull the money out, it is 100% tax free. So one of the metaphors we use with people all the time is if you were a farmer, would you want the deduction this year for the seed and then have the crop be 100% taxable? Or do you want to forego the deduction for the seed this year but then have the harvest, the crop, be 100% tax-free? And Roths have been around since, I believe, 97 or 98. And many people kind of know, have heard the name Roth but aren't familiar. And it's something that we find a lot of people really need that they haven't started. Many people, by the way, are also eligible for a Roth 401k. Now, there your contribution limits are higher. You can dump up to $17,500 in 2013 into a Roth 401k. A little bit different. They're both IRAs. One of them's a 401k through work. The other one is something that you would kind of do through a company like Thrivent or whatever company you happen to be with.
But if he's self-employed, well, he's both. He's self-employed and paycheck. Would you recommend Roth or traditional one over the other?
Again, one of those things where I think it'd be really good for him to sit down with an advisor and take a look at everything from what exactly is his annual income. You know, no right or wrong answer on that. Something is better than nothing. But, you know, at 23 years old, if he gets this thing going right now, you know, it can really set him up for the future.
That's what I was thinking. What's the minimum on these two different plans?
Most of the time with Thrivent, it's $100 a month commitment, and that's pretty similar for most companies out there.
Oh, so there's no initial amount that you put into it as a minimum. You just pay start like monthly then.
That's right. Most companies will have you do a monthly deduction, and then the cap, again, is $5,500 when you're his age. There's a catch-up provision if you're age 50 and older, so you could actually do $1,000 more at $6,500. You just can't go over that. Otherwise, they charge you an excise tax of 6%. You have until April 15th to take the money out, but those are the caps.
So the minimum would be $100 a month?
Yeah.
Okay, for
yep.
either one.
Right.
Right. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in, Leah. We appreciate that. I was also going to ask about some of the approaches that Thrivent Financial Planning takes when they're working with clients, as far as how do you help them understand where people are financially?
Individually, a lot of times we're working off what's called a financial pyramid. And so most people like complex things just boil down into simple pictures. So we work off of this pyramid, where at the base of the pyramid and where we start with people is protecting your income against things bad that can happen. So the first thing you want to do is take risk off the table. But it also starts with things like, do you have a will set up? I mean, you know, they say 60 or 70% of the country is running around without a will. You know, and if you have children, that's something you really want to address. Sometimes it's just simple budgeting issues that we need to help them realize that there's more going out than coming in. And that might be where we start with. But then it goes into things like emergency reserve funds. You know, the standard wisdom was always to have 2 or 3 months in emergency reserve. Wall Street Journal had an article a year or so ago saying that it was taking people 6 and 7 months to find work when they were out of work. And so, you know, how long could you survive if you became unemployed or whatever? So, you know, a lot of those basic risk items, if you die too soon, if you get sick or hurt and your income stops, what do you do? Then we move up the pyramid into accumulation. And that's things like saving for retirement or college funding. Maybe they've got a specific need they're saving for. Then once we get that addressed in retirement, it moves into distribution strategies. Okay, now you've saved it, you've accumulated. How do we make this last as long as you do? Which for a lot of people is going to be well into their 90s. So make sure that they don't run out of money. And then kind of that top piece is legacy planning. And that's where I think Thrivent is really unique in that we are always asking, do you have any sort of a charitable thing that really you care a lot about? And You know, when we ask people, if you had a choice between leaving your money when you die to the government or to your favorite charity, most of the time they don't say the government. There's a few people out there that do.
Right.
But with some strategies that they can really leverage their dollars and leave it to things like their church or their synod or KFUO radio.
A good one.
Yeah, some of those things that they care a lot about. And so just with some simple strategies, and oftentimes they get tax advantages with it too. That's another thing I would say to listeners is if they have any sort of a charitable urge to sit down with an advisor and explore that, because there are all kinds of tools out there that they're probably unaware of that they can really leverage their dollars for the things they really care the most about.
All right, listeners, take advantage of this. We've got some great information here, an expert here at KFUO talking about money management today. Give us a call if you have a question or comment, 314-505-7850, 800-730-2727. Now, we also talked a little bit about IRAs. What is an IRA rollover?
That's just a direct transfer. That's a non-taxable event that a person would make. A lot of times we're seeing, you know, lots of job changes and people have old IRAs sitting out there that they need taken care of. Maybe they're still with their old company or the company transferred it to somebody else and we need to take care of that. But a direct rollover is something that happens most often when people retire. So they say, okay, I've accumulated this 401k right now, need to know how to make it last, what to do with it. And oftentimes they will directly roll over their money to Thrivent. We'll help them invest that and then set up a distribution strategy with them. And there's no taxes and no penalties for doing it. So
that's a good thing, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about Thrivent Financial as far as how you're different than other investment companies.
Yeah, we're a not-for-profit, which means that we don't pay income taxes. So we can't use that money to lower a person's premium and give us an unfair competitive advantage there. We can't make somebody's investment returns better with that money. It has to come back to a benevolent cause. And so that money comes back to churches and charities and things that are really on the minds of our 2.5 million members across the country. And so, for instance, we're a huge contributor to Habitat for Humanity. Lots of times there's money coming into all sorts of the Lutheran Malaria Initiative, you know, things like that. And so, again, can't use it as a competitive advantage, but that's what makes us unique.
That's great. And while individuals utilize Thrivent for their personal needs, churches and institutions also have financing through Thrivent. Tell us a little bit about how people can use Thrivent with their church.
Yeah, well, a couple ways. Yes, we do have lots of churches that have their money set up with Thrivent. And if they're curious about digging into that, if some of the listeners are involved in that, absolutely get a hold of a Thrivent advisor or call us at the regional office. And we make presentations on that often and can help them with that. And then the second biggest thing is a program we have called Thrivent Choice, where each Thrivent member, based on what they have with us as far as investments and life insurance, is assigned a dollar amount that they can direct to whatever benevolent cause that they want. And so I know KFUO Radio is one of those, where each quarter they say, okay, you have $150 as an example of Thrivent Choice dollars. Where do you want to direct it? And so they could call up or they can do it on the computer, log in on the internet as well and just say, I would like to assign that money to KFUO Radio, or I'd like to assign it to St. John Ellisville, whatever their particular church would be. And so really a neat program that's been around for a couple of years and has really, really grown in popularity. And over the last 2 years, the percentage of people using that has grown and grown. And now, you know, anytime you do change, it's a really difficult thing. And so when this first came out, people didn't understand it, and there was some, you know, not understanding exactly how it worked. And frankly, we were all kind of grappling through that too. Now that it's been around for a couple of years, we're seeing lots and lots of people saying, well, this is really kind of a neat thing. And actually, the number of dollars that have come into our church or our school or whatever is not only back to where it was under the old program, but it's actually increased. So we're continually trying to get the word out there that if you've got these Thrivent Choice dollars, think about what it is that's important to you and make your decision. It's a simple phone call. Truly, I mean, it takes like 20 seconds to call the 800 number and tell them where you want to send it. All you need is your name and your Social Security number, and they'll look up your product you have with us and tell you your available dollars.
Sounds like a really easy way to help something that you feel good about.
Yeah.
That's a great cause. That's wonderful. Well, I was also going to ask you about your website. It can be a very useful tool for people. What are some of the ways that people can use the website for their personal financial planning?
Probably the biggest thing is the Thrivent calculators that are out there. And you know, there's retirement calculators that get people to start wrestling with exactly how much am I going to need. You know, you see that commercial where people are walking around with what's your number. What that's basically saying is what is your nest egg amount that you would need to kick off the amount of income in retirement that you would need through whatever age you say. Again, you know, we use age 95 as a pretty standard. Some people say, hey, I've got relatives that live past that, so we use age 100. But that's probably the biggest thing that's out there are these retirement calculators. There's also a really good one to get you thinking about, and one of the questions we get all the time is, how much life insurance do I need? There's no right answer to that, because some people look at life insurance as to take care of any liabilities like a mortgage or any credit card debt or things like that that they would have. The thing a lot of people forget about, and the main reason people buy life insurance, is for income replacement. So, you know, I'm married to my wife, Erica, and have a 6-year-old girl, Grace, and a 2-year-old girl, Anna. And so what my life insurance is designed to do is replace my income if, you know, something tragic happened and I didn't make it home tonight. And so there is no right answer on how much you should have, but those calculators can start giving you the science behind how much you need, and then you kind of work backward. There's a little bit of an art to it, too, where you're saying, you know, okay, here's what the science says, but maybe I don't need that much because there's other factors involved. So it helps you work through those things.
Now, could someone go on the site and kind of, I guess, work with this a little bit if they're not a Thrivent member, or do they need to be a member to experiment with it a little bit?
No, the calculators are right on the main site. So where you log in as a personal, that's just your personal information, and you know, you check your account balances and things like that. But no, the calculators are on the main site.
Okay, great. And again, we will have a link to that website on KFUO.org, so you can click on there and get some more information. Now, I've read that Thrivent may soon be available to more than just Lutherans. Is this going to take place, or do we know yet, and how is it going to affect?
Well, we've going on through the end of this month, we've got a vote on the common bond. I know there was an error out there in one of the Lutheran periodicals that we were voting on a name change. That is not true. We are just voting on the common bond. And so the long and the short of it is the focus will remain on Lutherans, but it will allow us, those who are in alignment with our values, to buy our products as well. So we've kind of been looking at it very similar to, you know, a commission. You know, as a Lutheran Christian, we don't want to just keep that with Lutherans, but we want to share the faith with others. Well, we want to share some of this financial security with other people as well, while not giving up our focus on Lutherans as well. And I think that's one of the concerns is, you know, is this thing just going to go overboard? And I think that's unfounded. We are still going to focus incredibly heavily on the Lutheran market, and that's going to be the vast majority of what happens. It just allows us to expand to other Christians if this common bond vote passes. And again, that voting is going on, and easily people can do that online through April 30th.
Wonderful. What do you think some of the, I guess, positive aspects will be if this happens?
Well, you know, say as a Lutheran person, and I'm sure you do too, I have lots of non-Lutheran friends, and it will come up, you know, they worry about retirement. They worry about, you know, people are worried about inflation. They're worried about the deficits, all that kind of thing. And to be able to say to somebody, hey, I've got a really qualified professional advisor that I work with, and oh, by the way, they work with a Christian company, I think that's just a really, really neat thing. And so it allows us to kind of spread the education process beyond just the Lutheran borders.
Absolutely. And we're all children of God, right?
Right, right.
Definitely. How would you say that technology has changed financial investing for individuals, say, in the past 10, 15 years?
Well, one thing that hasn't changed is you would think with all the information out there that people would be more educated when we sit down with them. And that, I can tell you, is not really the case. And I think what's happened is there's so much information out there that people are either misinformed or else they just shut down. You know, they do a search for Roth IRAs or whatever, and they get all kinds of conflicting advice. And so they just kind of shut it off and shut it down. And I think that's a mistake because, again, if you don't have a plan, you actually do have a plan, right? And so it would go back to where we started the conversation with find a qualified advisor that you trust who you can bounce these kind of questions off of. Just like if you had a health concern, you know, you wouldn't stay with a doctor that you didn't like or trust. Find yourself a really qualified professional advisor that you can bounce these money questions off, because there's just so many things. I mean, part of the reason we have our regional meetings, you know, I mentioned we had one last Friday in Springfield, is we're educating our advisors on all the tax law changes and all the different product changes. And you know, it's just a shifting landscape all the time. And so for a person that's not involved in this, it's just virtually impossible to stay up on all the different investment and tax changes. So again, find yourself somebody competent and stay with them.
Definitely. I think I'm talking to a pretty confident person right here today that if you all have questions or comments for him, you still have time. In St. Louis, 314-505-7850, 800-730-2727. We'd love to hear from you. You've got a few minutes yet if you have a question or comment for David. I was also going to ask, if we go talking back more about college, how does a young couple start to plan? How much do they need to put back? Say they're still expecting, should they start thinking about that now for college?
Yeah, some people do. We have people who are saving for college for children that aren't even born yet. And so that's really good planning. We have part of our software that we do these written plans for people has college scenarios in there. And we can plug in any college in the United States and show them in-state tuition, out-of-state tuition, if they want to pay for books, room and board, all those things. You know, we just check a box and either include it or don't include it. And people have fun with that. One of our newer advisors and I met with a young family last week, and, you know, they used Mizzou as their college. And so we can pull that up. But it's kind of neat when you start adding in, like, some of the Concordia schools. First of all, a lot of people are surprised at how much college costs have grown. And then they say, wow, can we ever afford that? And again, it's one of those things where the sooner you start, the easier it is. The other question we help people grapple with a little bit is, how much do you want to pay? Because there's different schools of thought. You know, some people say, my parents paid for it, and I want to do the same for my kids. Others say, I don't want it to be all them. I want them to have some skin in the game, so we'll pay for half of it. And so there's no right or wrong answers on that either. And that, again, that's what makes our job fun, is we ask you, what do you and your family, what are your values? And then we'll work backwards and show you the number.
I guess I'm sure it's tougher for parents that may have, say, two or three children. What do you suggest for them? Do they, as far as how much to put back?
Yeah, no rule of thumb, but going back to what we mentioned a little earlier, one of the things we're seeing a lot of is using a Roth IRA as kind of a combination college funding vehicle and retirement. So again, if you've got multiple kids, sometimes people start individual accounts for each of the kids and the money from the grandparents or whatever they put in there. But we're also seeing sometimes when there's just a limited budget, they say, okay, we'll dip into this Roth IRA for qualified education expenses if we need it. If we don't need it, the kids don't go to school, they get a scholarship, whatever. It just continues to grow, again, towards their retirement. So that's becoming really, really popular thing.
So there are ways, I guess, to find out that money's not lost, then, is what you're saying.
Correct.
If something happens, they don't go to college.
That's right.
I'm sure that's a point that people, you know, are concerned about, because sometimes it doesn't pan out. They don't go to college, or for whatever reason, something else comes up.
Yep, no question. Happens a lot.
Definitely. Well, you're listening to Faith and Family here on KFUO. We're talking with David Wagenke of Thrivent Financial. Just have a couple minutes left here. David, maybe if you would like to summarize some of our points here that we've made today. You've made some really great points and given some great advice to our listeners. It almost sounds like planning is the main key. Am I gathering that right?
Yeah, I'm a broken record when it comes to that, but I would say absolutely start with defining your family's values and what's important about money to you, and then getting with a qualified advisor and just sitting down and going through a series of questions covering everything from taking risk off the table to your investments, to long-term care, to disability. Doesn't mean you have to solve all those problems on a first meeting, but they should be addressed. And then having some form of comprehensive plan together that solves your family's particular issues.
Wonderful. David, thank you so much for joining us today on Faith and Family.
Thank you.
We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be discussing more issues of money management. Join us tomorrow on KFUO at 11, Faith and Family. Have a great day.